Welcome to the Conquering Chaos Podcast. I'm your host, Erin E. Hooley, president and founder of multi-million dollar e-commerce children's clothing line, Bailey's Blossoms. So it turns out I'm pretty good at business, but what really lights my soul on fire is providing other entrepreneurs and mompreneurs with the tools they need to truly succeed. So if you have a business or have one on your heart, you're in good company. Pull up a chair or drop in some earbuds and let's conquer some chaos today. Today I'm speaking with CEO of Rats Pack Media, Azriel Ratz, and he created Facebook Ads Mastery in 2017 and wrote Find, Engage, and Optimize in 2018. With an average return of 500% on ad spend with the companies he's worked with, I am excited to have him pour into each of you guys and provide you with the steps to optimize your ads and get better results. Hello, Azriel.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. Okay, so you've been in the realm of Facebook advertising for about 7 years now. Is that about right?
Yeah, 2012. Been here for a while.
So you've obviously seen a fair amount of changes. And a lot of people I know are kind of shying away from the whole Facebook advertising out of fear. So what would you say to those people that are a little Facebook skeptical right now?
So the first thing I would say is that it's not as scary as you think it is. You don't have to come into Facebook and spend like thousands of dollars every day. You really don't have to spend so much money. So it's not like, well, if I can't spend $100,000, I might as well not spend anything at all. Right. But on the other hand, Facebook makes it really easy to spend money. If anything, you should learn from how good Facebook it is at monetizing businesses. But they make it much more difficult to successfully run Facebook ads. It's really easy to run Facebook ads, but much more difficult to successfully run Facebook ads.
And I know a lot of people that have been doing Facebook ads for a while, myself included. It's really easy to look at what was working yesterday and get really frustrated that it's no longer working today and say, absolutely, you know what, I want what worked yesterday to continue working, so I'm just going to keep trying it over and over. Is that the definition of stupidity, trying the same thing over and over and expecting a different result? Yeah. Well, we're getting a different result just on the opposite end of the spectrum. So for those who are struggling with this, obviously it's get on the bus of change. Things are changing and adapting. And what does that look like?
I would say that the last 6 months have seen more change on Facebook than the last 6 years. Just more things like that I never thought I would say. I always thought that video would be images. That might not be true anymore. I always thought that, you know, running link clicks to cold audiences and conversion ads to warm audiences was the right way to go. I don't think that anymore. There's just like so many things that were the way everyone always did it, taking one campaign and running a bunch of ad sets and having them each test against you. That's not how it works anymore.
Right.
Like the structure of your ads, the targeting of your ads, the creative of your ads are totally different than what they would have been and what would have been successful 6 months ago.
Okay, so let's break that down. What does this new process look like?
So the first thing that I want to do is make the easy money that I call the lowest hanging fruits, right? That's what everyone wants. So normally your warm audiences work better than people who've never heard of you. So I call these warm audiences the core six. It's six audiences that are the first people you should be running money to. If you are not spending every dollar of your budget, and for some companies that could be $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month on just these six audiences, you're likely losing a ton of money. Number one, your email list. People that have either joined your list from whatever sale you were having, or you know, you were giving some booklet away for free, or a free shipping coupon, or whatever it was. You have a bunch of people on your email list. They should be seeing your ads. People, a lot of businesses here give like pushback, but if they're on my email list, then they would have bought from me from my email. Except that you know, and I know, and everyone knows
open
rates, if you're really lucky, I know a company that gets 40% open rate.
Wow.
Right? That's if you're like, that's if like you're killing it.
Yeah, no kidding.
You're getting 40%. So that means that 60% of their email list doesn't even know they sent an email.
Yeah.
Like forget like didn't open. They didn't even see the email in the list of things that came in. And then on top of that, if your click-through rate is 5%, you're basically like an email wizard.
Yes.
Right? So that means that 95% of the people that signed up to your email list never even got to your landing page.
Yeah.
So the first thing you want to do is hit these people on Facebook because they are there and they already know you and they likely would have bought whatever it was that was in your email, but they just didn't see it come through.
Right.
So that's the first one. Number two is website visitors. People that have been to your website before, there's 100,000 reasons why they could have come there. An amazing blog, someone shared it, you were on a podcast, right? Whatever reason it was they came to your website, those are an amazing group of people that know you but have never bought from you before.
Right.
Number three is anyone that likes your Facebook page, right? You have, if you have 100 or you have 100,000 or 1,000,000, these people chose to like you on Facebook. They know you. They care enough about you that in theory they'd want to see more. That's right. An amazing group of people. Number four is anyone that's engaged with your page. And Facebook defines that as a few things. One, they visited the page. Mm-hmm. They messaged the page. They saved a post from the page. They engaged, which is like, share, or comment to the page. They messaged the page. Those are all, or they just watched a video. If they watch a minimum of 3 seconds of any video that you ran on your page, I think, sorry, there's also one. Clicked a button. So seven different ways of targeting those people for post page engagement. And then number five is your Instagram. So for every like, comment, share you have on your Instagram, that's also an audience you could target. And finally, if applicable, in some cases, your Facebook friends. Mm-hmm. So those are six core audiences that know you, trust you, care about you, and want to hear from you.
Yeah.
And those are the first dollars you want to be spending on Facebook.
Amen. Oh, man. Preach. That's awesome. Okay. So when you get those audiences down, how much does that audience size matter? Because that audience size for me and for somebody next door to me is going to be completely different. So how does that work?
Right. So obviously, if you have 1,000,000, it's a lot more people to talk to than if you have 1,000, right? Mm-hmm. So what you want to start with is figure out, this is going to get a little complicated, but figure out your CPM, which is your cost per 1,000 impressions. Mm-hmm. And then once you know how much you're paying to reach this audience, this email list, this Facebook page, whatever that looks like, you could figure out how much it will cost to reach everyone on that list. If it costs you $1, which it won't, but let's just say it costs you $1 to get in front of 1,000 people and you want to get in front of 100,000 people, that would be $100. Okay. Right. So that means that for every $100 you spend, you will reach approximately everyone one time. So that means we know that for every $100, now obviously you have to do that math for yourself, right? How much does it actually cost you and how large is your actual audience? You know, for every $100 you spend, you're going to reach everyone. Well, how often do you want to reach everyone? Right. So my guess is somewhere around 5 to 7 days. Mm-hmm. So that means that you want to be spending in that ad set to that audience about $20 to $25 a day. And that will allow you in every 5 days to reach everyone about one time.
Okay, and just to clarify, everybody that you blocked out, people who are on your email list, people who've commented, people, all these different groups, are these individual audiences or are you grouping them together in one whole? Because I'm assuming there will be some overlap.
There will be some overlap, and I'm fine with the overlap. Facebook reps tell you they're not fine with the overlap. I'm very fine with the overlap. First, start off day one. You want to separate each audience so that you could say, oh, emails work. Oh, this interest works. Oh, this, you know, friends of Facebook likes, that's a successful targeting. Now, once you know all those pieces and you've been running ads for 2, 3, 4, 5 months, you can now say, I know these 3 lookalikes work. These 6 interests work. These 4, you know, custom audiences work. Now I'm going to hand that information over to Facebook and let them do the testing all within one ad set.
Awesome. And you brought up a good point too, because first we're talking about all those, that low hanging fruit, those people that are already engaged. They already know who you are. That's your warmest of your warm audiences. And then you've got your cooler audiences, the lookalikes. So but let's talk to everybody about what that is in case they don't know.
Yeah. So Facebook, again, being insanely smart at everything, they look at everyone in your audience. So you can create lookalike audiences from every custom audience you have. So let's say you have 5,000 people on your email list and you want to find more people like those people. So you'll upload the email list to Facebook. Facebook will match the email address to the Facebook ID, the Facebook profile ID of that person. And then they'll have data on these five, that let's say 4,400 of the 5,000 people they have, they've matched. And now they can look at certain interests that these people have that you can never know, right? Did you know that all of the people that love to buy from you also love moths? I don't know, like they love butterflies. Who would have thought that they, right. You know, like totally something totally out of the box. You would have no idea, but Facebook right. knows because they own the data. You don't know which, you don't know anything about these right. people. Like you think you know about these people, but little did you know if there was a specific interest or an age group or a state or a platform that they use, like they use Instagram more than Facebook, or they use their phone more than their tablet, or things you can't possibly know, but Facebook does have right. all that data. So you're basically telling Facebook, I want people like my people.
Right.
Here's my people, find them. And then Facebook will look at any country that you're running ads to, and they'll give you lookalike audiences based on a percentage of the total audience in that country. So for example, if you're in the US, which I assume most of your listeners are in the US or targeting to people in the US, so there's a total of 220 million people in the US that are on either Facebook or Instagram or WhatsApp, but we'll not get technical for a moment. So there's 220 million people in the whole US that are on Facebook. Now you want to create a 1% lookalike, which means 2.2 million of the 220 million. So now you're basically telling Facebook, find a lookalike audience of 1% the size of the country that look like my people. So you take your list of 5,000 people and they shoot at you a list of 2.2 million people they think are the most similar 1% to that entire country. But now think how that works in every other country, right? Like I live in a country in Israel with only 15 million people. So 1% of the audience is only 150,000 people. So right. now that's a much smaller audience than the 2.2 in the US, or Canada's 30 million people. 1% of 30 million people is only 300,000 people, right?
Right.
For every country you're targeting, you have to remember that's how these work. But the great thing is Facebook will let you go up to 10% of the country. So that means that you could do, oh, I want 2%, which comes out to 4.4 in the US or whatever the numbers. We don't have to do all the math for all the countries. But essentially, based on the percentage you choose, they will find the closest 1, 2, or 10% people in that country like the people you're showing them. Mm-hmm. And this is an incredible tool because Facebook knows your people better than you.
Yes.
They can test against the people better than you can ever test the people. And
yeah.
it's likely they will be way more successful at finding people that want to buy your thing than you ever will.
Absolutely. And that's a good point too, because I think it's really easy. We talk a lot about building your customer avatar. Who's your ideal customer? And a lot of people, at least for us, when you create a business, oftentimes your ideal client is you. You're solving a problem that you wanted solved. So you created a business that you wanted to see. So oftentimes this avatar, we insert ourselves, we project ourselves into those avatars that we create for who we think our general audience is. But then we have to step back and step out of our ego and say, wait a second, while that's true, I am one of right. the however many million people that right. might be interested in my product. So I can't only solely judge my avatar or my entire audience based off of my interests alone.
Yeah. Allowing Facebook to do a large amount of testing on their side with lookalikes is incredibly powerful. And
right.
again, leaving tons of money on the table every day. You're not testing different lookalike audiences.
Yes. I love it.
So we started off with our core six.
Right.
Right. And how much money can you spend on that? Now, obviously, someone with a million likes can spend a whole lot more than someone
right.
with 100 likes or right. a million email subscribers or whatever. That is going to fill however much of your spend it will fill.
Right.
The next move I want to do is what I call like layer two. So layer two is the lookalike audiences and connections of the core six. So your friends of Facebook likes, your friends, if you have an app, friends of people that have the app is a targeting option. And then geographical or behavioral targeting that's incredibly relevant for your business. Now, obviously, you're selling to parents with kids that are between the age of 3 and 5. and are interested in the show Shimmer and Shine. So that's like a very specific targeting audience that you could run ads to. So do you know those interests? Again, those are the first ones you want to target, those behaviors right. that they have. Oh, I'm specifically trying to reach lawyers, but guess what? You could run ads to people with the job title of lawyers. So those behaviors. Right. And then the last layer is the totally cold audiences, interest-based targeting, maybe just like geographic targeting. So that basically covers all of the target. Now, how much right. of it should you do? You should start with the smallest, closest knit people, and then slowly move out to more people as you're spending more and already seeing the results. So we have this rule in marketing called the rule of seven, which is that you want to talk to people approximately seven times before they'll actually buy from yes. you, right? But I don't want all that to happen in within 10 minutes, right? Right? I want like them to be able to like, oh, you're a company. Out. Oh, my friends like them. Oh, like, it's not just like, look at my ads every day. That's like not what you want here.
Right.
So that's why I try to keep it between 5 and 7 days. But you obviously should be testing different creatives so that they're not seeing exactly the same thing every single day. So if you're spending in one specific ad set that $25 and you're spending the targeting the same audience with a different ad, another $25, so they won't see exactly the same thing over and over again every 5 to 7 days. Right. They're going to see a slightly different message with a slightly different creative, with a slightly different offer, and that's going to be what allows you to know what is working best to those people and what return you're getting, so you can know, oh, this one's working better, let's spend more. Okay, it might be that my frequency is going to go too high, but they're enjoying it. People are buying. People are clicking. I'm getting all of this engagement. I'm getting, you know, tons of comments and shares and stuff like that. So it's worth it to go above the 5 to 7, you know, one impression for every 5 to 7 days. But it's a good benchmark to start at. Just try to go for 5 to 7, because if you're reaching them every day, even if they wanted to buy from you, by the 15th day, they're not interested in talking to you anymore. So like, you gotta like, you know, yeah, exactly. Yes.
We've talked about finding those perfect audiences. Now, what's next? Obviously, we have to find the perfect ad. What does that look like?
Yes. So that is an everlasting game that you will never win.
Uh-huh.
Because there will never be the perfect ad. Facebook announced about, let's say, 3 months ago, their standard ad size is now 1080 by 1080. Mm-hmm. So for all those old school Facebook advertisers, the normal size forever in a half was 1200 by 628, which okay. is likely the size of the screen you're looking at right now, 1200 by 628. That right. was the size everyone always used. So they announced just about 3 months ago, don't quote me on that date, that standard size both for Facebook and Instagram is now 1080 by 1080. And square images take up a whole lot more real estate than
correct
1200 by 628. It takes up about an extra third of the screen. So now if you are using square images, the people that see your ads are considerably more immersed in the ad than one that is a much smaller image.
Right.
So by using using a square image fills up more screen space on Facebook. So that's reason one. I have seen a ton of times that a square image will outperform a lot of stuff. Now, the next thing you want to do is use a creative that stops them from scrolling.
Yeah.
Right? So I see 100,000.
Is that creative visual or copy?
The image slash video is the thing that makes you stop. Mm-hmm. Right? You're not going to read the copy until you see the image.
Right.
So the first thing I need is a creative that gets you to stop. Now, there's a lot of ways of doing this. I've heard people say, make the picture black and white because they're like, huh, why is it black and white? And then like one color, like you see like everything's black and white and then like the pen he's holding is blue or something. And that gets you to stop, things that are weird. So one of the things that is weird is an image video where the words move, but the picture doesn't. So what I've seen a lot is like person standing on stage presenting in front of an audience and the picture is just what it is. But then there's like words that come up on the screen that says like, now presenting in Chicago, buy today. Like that's the ad, right?
Right.
So that type of ad is different than what you see on like as you're scrolling through your Facebook feed, as you're scrolling through your Instagram feed. That's the thing that gets people to stop. You could take your pictures you're already using and then just make the picture into a video, right? Just put some words on it, let them dance a little bit, and great, you got yourself a video. It's really that easy to start.
Right.
And what I've noticed is sometimes those things that are the easiest work the best. Facebook slideshows, which is literally a PowerPoint presentation with just images with like really generic audio. I don't know if you ever listened to the audio options on Facebook slideshows, but they're incredibly generic. And these slideshows many times outperform high production value videos.
Hmm. Facebook used to have that whole 20% text rule. And it, yes. Where it was saying no more than 20% of your content in your visual can be text. And they removed that, but it almost
made it worse.
They made it worse. They did. They made it worse. They yes. seem to have yes. more regulations. They just don't tell you what those regulations are.
Yes. So let's explain the regulation mm-hmm. first and then say what they did. So Facebook knows human psychology very well.
Yes.
Like, probably one of the businesses in the world that understands human psychology better than almost anyone. So they know that their users, people, will do things because they're people, not because they like to do things.
Right.
As an example.
It's habits.
If you see, yes, if you as a human see words on an image, you read the words. It's a thing they know. So if you used Instagram when Instagram first came out, the thing that did really well was just quotes.
Yes.
Like just images with quotes. Like really, like Abraham Lincoln said, don't believe everything you see on the internet. Like literally that type of quote.
Right.
And that's what did well. Why did it do well? Because people read words on images.
Right.
That's what Facebook knows. People read words on images. So what they did was they started asking people, right? You engaged. You commented, you hovered, you watched, you shared this picture with words on it. Did you actually enjoy that experience? Mm. And what they found out was that people did not enjoy that experience, that there were more enjoyable experiences on Facebook than reading a quote on your Instagram feed.
Right.
But you do it because you're a human. And humans are predictable and do the same things all the time. So essentially what Facebook said is, they said, that means that people can create an ad that is low quality, but forces, so to speak, people to engage based on how humans act.
Right.
So we want to level the playing field. We want to eliminate the possibility of people using tricks and, you know, whatever it is to trick people into engaging with their content,
right?
Which will lead to them getting cheaper impressions and cheaper clicks and higher, you know, returns. We want to level the playing field. We're just going to say, don't put words on your images.
Right.
And then people figured out how to play the system because they had this 20% rule, and it's a really weird thing with like a bunch of boxes and like, well, does it fill in this box and does it fill that box? And like, well, what kind of like font is it in? And there are all these ways of getting around it. So Facebook basically said, we're getting rid of the 20% rule. Here's our new rule. You can have text, and if it has too much text, we'll penalize you. Now, I'll tell you, I've spent a lot of money, and I don't know what the word penalize you means. I have no idea. I have tested ads, the same ad to the same audience, to the same everything, and the only difference was one image had words on it and one image didn't have words on it, and the one with words did better on every metric. It mm-hmm. got cheaper impressions, it got cheaper clicks, and then they're like, you know, if you change it to a one without image, like without words on it, it would do cheaper.
Better.
So I'm like, okay, it does way worse. So I don't know what penalize you means. I've never actually seen it, but that's what they claim happens. Now, if you have a crazy amount of text, imagine like screenshotting a Word document.
Right.
They won't approve the ad. So
correct.
That's essentially the three levels. Low level text, medium, whatever that means, and high level of text.
Right.
Usually, if you're medium, your ads will run just fine and you'll have no issues.
Right.
If it's on high, then they'll likely just disapprove your ad and you'll have to make something new. Impression-wise, images and videos tend to be the cheapest impression. But
right.
we're not out there to get impressions. We're out there to get leads, conversions, add to carts, sales. webinar signups, whatever we're there for. Right. Like, this is what we're really here to do. We're here to get a conversion. So what is going to be the best ad for a conversion? I have no idea.
Right. A professional photo versus a one taken on your iPhone. And half the time the iPhone one does better. It's being willing to test that. And that's even it. If it is, you know, it's a lead ad versus a sales oriented ad or conversion driven ad or a brand awareness ad. At the end of the day, you need to be comparing apples to apples. They use the same metric to see, okay, regardless of if it's traffic or lead generation or conversions, which one has the best ROI? Well, then which one's the best ad?
So we spoke a ton, like I would say 50% of this conversation was around the targeting, mm-hmm. right? So we talked about like finding your lookalike audiences and the interests and the custom audiences. Now let's say an actual example, you have 1 million people on your Facebook page mm-hmm. and you're running ads with a video, with creative, with a landing page link to, doesn't even matter where, to a product, right?
Right.
And you can run the same ad a dozen ways and get a dozen results. The reason is because the main change on Facebook when running the ad is which objective you choose. Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of objectives. There's a brand awareness, there's engagement, there's conversion, there's mm-hmm. catalog view, a product catalog, there's link clicks, there's store visits, there's like, it just keeps going. Like there's a whole list of them. I don't need to read them all off to you. So so essentially if you run an ad, now a video with the objective for video views, and you run the exact same ad for link clicks and you run the exact same ad for conversions mm-hmm. to the same audiences all at once, they will get you dramatically different results.
Yeah.
The video view one will get you super cheap clicks, views, but no clicks. The click people will get you tons of clicks, but no views. The one with the conversions will get very little clicks that will be really expensive, but it will in theory get you lots of purchases or the most number of purchases. So what essentially is happening here is in your list of 1 million people, Facebook is saying, oh, you want video views? Well, here's a list of 150,000 people in your list that watch lots of videos. Mm. So we're going to do you this amazing favor and show them that ad. And then, oh, you want link clicks? Well, forget those 100,000 people. These 300,000 people click on everything they see on Facebook. We're going to send them your ad. And now you do conversions. Well, you know, out of the 1 million, here's, you know, 30,000 that bought in the last 7 days using a Facebook ad. We're going to show your ads to them first because they're much more likely to buy than any of these other audiences. So what actually is happening here is Facebook is pinpointing the right group within your ads, within your targeting, to find the best people for the best price for that thing you're asking for.
So it's optimizing within your audience. So it's segmenting within your audience, which is why a lot of times you'll see that peak and then the dip, because after they've exhausted that, the best of the best within your audience for the objective you've selected, now they're giving it to the rest of the people and they're not so interested. Exactly. So it peaks and then it falls.
Interesting. Exactly. Interesting. That's exactly what happens. And so essentially when you create ads for Boost Post, it is doing all of the same stuff you're doing, but its objective is engagement. Mm-hmm. So if you took that very same ad and the very same video to the very same audience and did nothing else but choose conversion of purchase, it's likely impressions will be more, engagement will be less, cost per click will be higher, but the people seeing the ad are have a much higher likelihood of actually purchasing from you, which is what you want. You could add a call to action button on your Boost Post, which means what this means now, hold on to your seats. You post something on Facebook or on Instagram, and then you wait 1 minute and it's uploaded. And then you go into the post and you say, I want to Boost Post this post with the call to action button that says learn more with a link to some blog post that I have that has to do with this product. Right? And you pay $1 or even $0. You don't pay anything. Right. You literally click the button to boost. You turn off the ad and it never runs. Every organic post impression that you get with that ad, that with that post, has a call to action button on it with a button that sends them to that blog page. I forgot where I was sending them. I was sending them to the blog page. So that means that you could use organic posts, post the video on your Facebook feed, go into the post, boost it, turn off the boost, and all of your posts can have call to action buttons on it.
That's awesome.
That's a cool use of boost posts that you've never, that you might have not done before. So essentially, what is the main difference between a boost post and going into Ad Manager? The main difference is, what is the objective of the ad?
Oh, it's so crazy. There are so many different things, and like you said, there are so many changes that have happened too.
Yes.
So it's staying on top of those changes and constantly testing to make sure that you get the best results. So this is fantastic. We've talked about finding your audience, being able to really pinpoint your, and testing the different audiences, testing the different copies, the different types of objectives, the different types of material. You know, one thing I have to throw out too is the text in which accompanies your photos or your videos. We spent a lot of money on this one particular ad for, Peyton Bree was the company. The copy we did was so generic, like, can you believe how beautiful these girls are? Blah, blah, blah. Nothing about the company. And there was a link, but we didn't say, click here to shop these looks or find dresses like these at X link. We didn't do that. And so what we were finding, we're looking at the engagement and people are going, oh my gosh, they're so beautiful. Because we talked about, oh, aren't they so sweet? Oh, they're so beautiful. P.S. Does anybody know where to get these clothes from? What? Oh my gosh, it's an ad for clothes. I mean, we were so dumbfounded that you need to be that specific. You need to be that obvious. And sometimes it pains me to be that obvious because I want people to be intelligent enough for me not to have to smack them in the face. But you kind of do. You kind of need to be
so
obnoxiously
I'm not
going to
say that. Here's what I will say. People are not coming onto Facebook and Instagram to use their brain. People are very intelligent. Most people are relatively intelligent. Let's start there. Most people are relatively intelligent. I'm going to say again, most people are relatively intelligent. Like the joke, like the cat videos and the baby pictures, like that's like what they're coming to do here. Like read about Donald Trump and, you know, like who knows what. That's what they're, that's what they're doing on Facebook. Like see what food that person's eating and whatever. No one's going to ever be friends with me again, are they? Now, again, back to human psychology, people are much more likely to do something if you tell them to do that. There's this study with lifeguards that the first thing you do is like you point to a person and say, you call 911, because if you don't tell who the person should be, everyone's like, well, someone should really call 911. I'm sure someone else did it. So that like that's what's going on Facebook. Like if you don't say click here to learn more, they'll be like, huh, I wonder where I could learn more. I mean, there's this really great link, but I don't think it does anything that could be useful to me.
Correct.
Right? So like be like stating to them, like, this is what I want you to do from here.
Correct.
And you're going to have a great time over there. You should check it out.
Yeah. And there's some interesting things too, when it comes to testing, where Facebook frowns upon putting links in the copy. They want it in the little buttons, right? But if you test it, sometimes it actually tests better. So it's just being willing.
Many times. In fact,
I know. I'm like, put the link in all the places. Do that. And it really does. You can beat the rules and you can beat the algorithm if you're willing to test it and just see for yourself what works. Because the reality is, what's working for you and your company may not be the same as what's working for me and mine. And so we all need to test within our own rights. Take all of your audiences, take all of your copy, take all of your ad sets and test them against each other, and then increase and scale the ones that are working for you and for your company.
That's it.
Awesome. Awesome. What does it look like to run all of these together? How long are we running them against each other? And then what do you do after you figure out who the winner is?
There's a lot of stages here.
So
we have questions. We have the actual campaign.
Yep.
Like we have like another 35 minutes of this speech, I hope. We have the actual campaign. We have the targeting. We have the ad, right? So Facebook has a new thing called CBOs, which stands for Campaign Budget Optimization. So if you ever knew how to run Facebook ads, you don't know how to do it anymore. It's different. It's just different than it ever has been. Until now, you would say, I have one campaign. Here's my 10 audiences I'm running ads to. Give each of them $10. Come back in a week. They each spent $70. And these three did the best. Let's run the ads. Now, that's not at all how it works. Now you take your same 10 audiences and you tell Facebook, I want to spend $100 a day total in each of these ad sets. You come back in a week, three of them spent $100 and the other one spent 37 cents. So now the question is like, is that the best way to do this? So remember back to about 8 minutes ago when we spoke about how Facebook chooses who sees the ad.
Right.
Right. So this is something that happened with the client. We're running ads for a big sale that we're running and we want people to buy stuff. So we run ads for purchases, like conversion ads for purchases. And we take all of our warm audiences, the email subscribers, website visitors, you know, Facebook page, like Facebook engagement, Instagram stuff, all that great stuff. Then we take our lookalike audiences, lookalike to purchase, lookalike to LTV, lookalike to website visitors, all those other things. Then we take our interest groups and we take our local audiences and we put them all into their own ad sets, all of them pointing to one single ad. We then run the ads and we walk away and come back 3 days later and it spent the, let's say, $300 and it got okay results. But what I noticed was that it spent a ton of money in the lookalike audiences and very little money in the email subscribers and website visitors. Why? The reason is because it's exactly how Facebook works. They're looking for people that are most likely going to do the action you are asking for. Well, they have a ton of data on the lookalike audience with 2 million people in it, and they know that 300,000 of those people have purchased or clicked a shop now button in the last 7 days, so they're going to run ads to those people. But you know that your email subscribers have been on your email list for the last 7 months. They're always, every time, your biggest purchasers. They're the ones that give you the largest return. You have a 37% open rate. You make $100,000 every month from your email list. And you know these people buy. But Facebook kind of thinks that they're not as good as this lookalike audience. So what does it mean to me? What it means to me is that I'm going to take this email list and move it out of this one ad campaign with all of the great targeting that it's doing and doing the job it's supposed to do. But I know as a business that this email list is the best performing list I have and that will get me return. And Facebook better spend my money because it's going to give me a good return. And what we did was exactly that. And at the end of the campaign, the original campaign ended up with a 9.5 times return on the money. Great. The email list had a 25.5 times return on the money. So this is exactly what happens. Facebook knows a lot of really great stuff, but you also know a lot of really great stuff. And it should happen that your email list buys more often than a lookalike audience has never met you before.
Right.
Right? So it should happen that people that like your Facebook page should sign up to your email list for a lower price than some random lookalike audience. This is what should happen. So if you expect that to happen, you better test that hypothesis. Do whatever you need to do. Set a minimum, you know, increase the bid cap, all these fun words that don't mean anything to anyone because they're really complicated. No one uses them. And you want to do that testing to prove it, even if you're wrong, just to prove that you think this thing and you should learn that. So what does it actually look like? So the first 3 days is letting Facebook do the testing it needs to do. Facebook announced recently this thing called learning phase. So essentially what Facebook is doing is they're trying to optimize for whatever objective you have.
Right.
But when running ads for conversions, Facebook wants to find at least 50 conversions within that single ad set. So for the first 50, it's learning. And then after 50, it's learnt. And now it's able to optimize.
Right.
So that means you need to give Facebook some amount of time to learn.
Right.
And
how much that time?
That period is around between a day and a half and 3 days. And during that period, Facebook might test a whole bunch of dumb stuff. But over the course of those 3 days, they will figure out what's working. And that's when you really say, like, this ad set is not working. Mm-hmm. This ad set is working. But if you only let it spend $2, right, then you can't say anything. So you first need a 36 to 72 hour period of just letting it spend the money to figure it out. That's stage one. Now you want to let every ad set run against each other for about 5 to 7 days. Let all of them reach everyone once and see what happens, right? So if you let it go through that 5 to 7 day period, you could say, well, I expect my average CPM across the board is $3.67, but this one campaign is costing me $11. This ad set is costing me $11. I should turn it off, or if you could decrease the ad spend of that ad set. So that's what happens in the 5 to 7 day period. Now, after 14 days, you now know these are working and these are not working. I better start turning off some ad sets. At that point, you now have a campaign and only the best ad sets running. Now you can go into the ad level and do the same thing. So the first 7 days after, which would be day 21 days in, you can now go in and say, you know, this ad works fine for this audience, but not so good for this audience. I'm going to turn this ad off. And you're basically going to go in and just find the ads that don't work, turn them off. So just turn off the ones that aren't good. And now you have the three best ones. Now what I like to do, which is an added bonus, is to say, I ran 10 ad sets. Each of those ad sets had three ads. Of the 30 ads, ad 16 did the best. What if I took ad 16 and ran just ad 16 to all of my 10 audiences? What would happen? Usually it would make you lots of money. That's usually what would happen. So you take this post that already got engagement and already got purchases and already got, you know, comments and likes, and you take that one post ID, like you literally go to the post, you grab the ID from the URL, and you create a new campaign with your five audiences that like audiences that work that you did that testing for, and you run all of the ad spend to a single ad. That's usually around day 25. Let's say day 25 to 35, something like that. And you now have the best performing ad with the best performing audience all running to the best thing you could do for the most optimized price. Fantastic.
Awesome.
Now you start again.
That's awesome. Azriel, this has been fantastic. I think that there are so many key takeaways here. If you could sum up for everybody who is a beginning advertiser on Facebook, what are the three things they need to do right now?
Number one, find your core audiences that you already have. Take your email list, your Facebook page likes, and your website visitors. Two, make one ad with whatever was the best performing image or video you put up in the last 3 months. Take whatever that was, use it that as the ad, and spend $10 a day for a week. That's it. Spend $10. Those are the three things. Take your six audiences, find the best post you had in the last 3 months, run it for a week for $10 a day, and just start.
Awesome. Just start. Just step into it and just test it out, guys. I mean, and there is so much truth in there, because you will never know until you just start to try. And I know with all of the fear and the algorithm changes and everything else, put the worry aside, put the fear aside, because fear never accomplishes anything. Just get out there and test, and you will become so much greater for it. But Azriel, thank you so much. For those who, of the many listeners I know, are going to be wanting to see more of you, where can they find you?
So the best place to follow me is actually my personal Facebook page, my personal profile. Unfortunately, I can't have more friends, but you could still follow me and engage and comment. I'm capped. I'm at like 4,996 or something. Like, it's very frustrating. I got to talk to Mark about this. But the other place is my Facebook page, which I do try to keep as up to date as possible, posting there pretty often. And I already have like several thousand. I'm up to like 1,500 videos on there, all about Facebook and entrepreneurship and marketing and awesome. Really great stuff on there. Rats Pack Media is the best place to find me.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to speak with you again about Facebook ads. I'm going to keep you on my speed dial. I'll tell you what, you're fantastic.
That's it.
Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for taking the time to connect with me here on the Conquering Chaos podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, will you please take a moment to leave a review? It's the fuel to my fire and lets me know that my efforts to enact change and broaden your perspective of what's possible matter. Thank you so much for your support. If you want more content like this, don't forget to subscribe and connect with me on social media at Erin E. Hooley or at erineehooley.com. Have a fantastic day. Get out there and conquer some chaos.